Amen. Well, good evening. Good to see each and every one of you here tonight. I would like to say thank you very much to Pastor Steve Ware and Tabernacle Baptist Church for hosting the IFFB. Also, thank you to our president and moderator, Brother Gene Parker, been faithful for many, many, many years. And it's an honor, always is an honor, just to be here, to be able to see you, shake hands with you, fellowship with you, be encouraged by you and your faithfulness. And I'm honored tonight, humbled tonight, to have the opportunity just to share with you a few things from the Word of God that He's laid upon my heart. Many of you have already asked since I've been here how my son Alex was doing. We had another bone marrow biopsy in June, and we were praying for a specific number that the doctors were anticipating and hoping for to spare him a bone marrow transplant. And we praise the Lord, he was right on that number. And so at this time, they're continuing an experimental treatment with him. And we'll go back this June and see what's going to happen. But he goes to the hospital every month, gets his treatments, gets his blood work done, has good days, bad days. And for those of you who struggle with any kind of medical condition or somebody in your family has, you know what that's like. But we praise the Lord for the prayers of those that we haven't even had the opportunity to say thank you to. So thank you very much for your prayers, your concern. I'm serious. I could not get in the doors of the sanctuary tonight without somebody asking me how my son was doing. And that means a lot to me. So thank you very much. I appreciate it dearly. Take your Bible tonight. Open up, if you would, please, to Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter 6. I have absolutely no intent or desire to share anything this evening. You probably haven't preached many times over. And I want you to know that any word that I speak from behind the pulpit tonight, I have prayed, I have sought the Lord, and I ask for His help even at this moment while I preach this evening. But I claim no originality to it. I'm not going to walk up to the podium, to the pulpit, and preach something to you that you don't know. So I don't come to the pulpit tonight with a confidence of, I'm going to show you something you've never seen before. But sometimes what has done me good in the ministry is to be reminded of things I've already known, but maybe have since forgotten. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible is Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. And so tonight we're going to jump into there for just a little while. And if you'll give patience and pray for the preacher, and I pray that you'll just open up your ears, remember the account that you have preached many times before, but take it from a personal perspective. And you'll see what I'm talking about in just a few moments. But before we do anything else, let's bow our heads, open up our hearts, and if you would please just join me in praying that God not only uses me and indwells me and speaks through me, but that God will help you to receive what He has for you to get tonight. Would you join me, please? Dear Father in heaven, as I come before you, I ask that you forgive me for every sin that I have committed that would cause anything that I would do to become a distraction on this stage tonight. Lord, thank you for the safety and the traveling mercies you provided to enable us the opportunity to be here in this room tonight. It's not a coincidence. It's not a mistake. This has been the perfect plan of God. And so, Lord, I seek you. I beg of you to use me as an instrument in your hand tonight. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. There was a gigantic wall around the city of Jericho. And a whole lot of people had showed up on their territory, so they shut the gates and they wouldn't let anybody in. And in chapter 6, verse 2, God says something. He says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." Now, I believe that God already knew exactly what he was going to do when he formed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden on the day that Joshua would walk up to the walls of Jericho. And he came to Joshua and he said, "See, look, you've already got the city and the king and the mighty men." There's only one problem. In verse 2, there was still a gigantic wall with shut gates separating Joshua from the city. God just said, "You've got it already. I've given to you this city, its king, its men, its armies. They're in your hands." And so as I read this for a while, I studied this often, and I read through these passages, and as I was reading through this, I thought, you know what? There's a lot of things that we celebrate because we know the end of the story. And there's a lot of encouragement we draw from because we know the awesome power of God. But at this point, none of those things had happened because the wall hadn't fallen. And until the wall fell, there are some things that happened to Joshua on that day when God said, see, you've got it all already, that happened to us as well. And I want to ask just a couple questions tonight out of respect. Out of respect, I mean it out of humility. I'm not trying to embarrass you. If anything, it's honor. Honor. Double honor to the men that have served many, many years faithfully in the work of the Lord. So you help me out. How many men in this room tonight you have served in any ministry, full-time or part-time, or started a ministry for the kingdom of God? Can I see your hand tonight? Would you just hold it up? Great. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. You've served 5 years or longer, 10 years or longer, 15 years, 20, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. Now, let's keep those hands for just a second. How many years have you been faithfully serving the Lord? 54. How many years, Brother Gene? 54. How many years, Brother Tom? 66 years. How many years, Papa? 64 years. Yes, sir. How many years? 53. How many years? 56 years. Amen. To God be all the glory for your faithfulness in serving the Heavenly Father. That's the encouragement I'm talking about. That's the inspiration and dedication that you don't see happen today in this society that we live in. But in that time, the 50 plus years, these men have been serving God. I want you to understand something. On this day, when Joshua walked up and saw the gate shut, they had not won one single battle for over 40 years. As a matter of fact, if you'll remember, the last 40 years in the history lesson, they've been wandering around in the desert because of a lack of their faith. Now, let's go beyond the wandering in the desert. They were stomping around in the mud, making bricks for the Egyptians. Am I accurate? Am I correct? Is that what the Bible teaches us? And Joshua walks up as the leader of these children of Israel that have watched one by one them die and be buried in the sand, buried in the desert. And God says, look, Joshua, there's the city I've given to you in your hand. But it's been 40 years and they haven't won a single battle. Now, there are men sitting in this ministry today, in this room today, that have just been proven. 52, 54, 56. It doesn't matter if it's been 66, but God be all the glory. If you just surrendered Sunday, and this has been the first 24 hours that you've given your life to serve God, I want you to understand something. There are always those first battles that have yet to be won. Some of you have been in the ministry and you've seen God do miraculous things and His hand has been involved in lots of things in your life. But there's still that calling, that yearning, that desire of fulfillment that God has called you to accomplish something. That battle that must be won. And that's the battle that has yet to happen to you yet. The wall hasn't fallen. There's a plague happening in our Bible colleges and in our young men that are coming out to fill in the gap. To stand in the, and this plague is that men are taking ownership of churches and of congregations. And the mentality is mistaken because the church never belonged to any man. As a matter of fact, that is all God's. And you men know this, but sometimes along the ministry, especially if we've been tedious and have served God for many, many, many years, we assume the success or the failure based solely on it's my responsibility. You see, the ministry is always and has always been God's, but the calling is yours to possess. And the day that you said, God, not much, but here it is, I take it and I offer it, take me and use me. Lord, take the past and forget it, and restore a future more than I could have ever done to myself. And you started to serve God for all those years. The children of Israel for 40 years had been in the desert. This time when God said, it's time to mount up and go, they followed in line and they marched to the city and Jericho shut the walls, but nobody had won. They hadn't won a battle. They saw God drown Pharaoh's army behind them in the Red Sea. They remember the stories that had been told to them of their fathers and their forefathers, but they personally had not won one single battle until the walls fell. There are a lot of men today that need to remember that the calling of God is yours to possess. It is your responsibility to remain faithful and to remain true despite how many wins or hashtags you've got or little marks that you've placed in the win column of your life. There are so many people, even those that have been in the ministry for many, many years, they'll look back and they didn't have the opportunity to build the radio stations or have their services broadcast on TV or be able to stand up at the bus conference and talk about how many tons and dozens of buses that pull out of the parking lot. They've been on the backside of a mountain that most people would never invite them to a conference or show up to their church for a revival, knocking on doors, praying late into the night, witnessing to the people that the rest of the world had forgotten. And based on that success of mankind, there's a tendency maybe to come across as I failed. I never had my messages published on the front of a newspaper. Or I never had somebody ordering my CDs and tapes so that they could play them in their cars throughout the week. There's most people out there don't even know where I am. And there's a tendency in the shadows of what we have deemed great men to feel like a failure. Joshua was the leader of a nation that hadn't won anything yet. You see, they had made it to verse 2. They didn't know what happened in verse 3 or all the way to verse number 27. So not only up until the walls fell, not only had they not won a single battle and they had wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, but when they asked God, what's the plan? What are we supposed to do? Look at the direction God gave them. You know the story. Joshua chapter number 6. Go down, if you would, please, to verses number 14 and 15. The Bible says that God had told them to do the same thing over and over again. And so the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. Say, all right, what's the battle plan? We're going to put together a batting ram and build some big tall ladders. And we're going to run up to that city and we're going to accomplish this because that's what makes sense. How are we going to build this church? How are we going to turn this country to God? How are we going to put millions of Bibles in the hands of those that have never had them before? Well, here's our plan. Isn't that a good plan, God? And God says, here's what I want you to do. Get up in the morning, walk up to the wall, and then just walk all the way around and go back home for the day. Now, I want you to listen to me for just a second. Until the wall fell, all they successfully did was walk around in circles for 6 days. Could you imagine how dizzy the soldiers on top of that wall must have been? Oh, here they come again. What are they going to do? You better be ready. Be alert. Be alert. That's it. Now, I don't mean to mock this. I don't mean to make fun of it. Have you ever felt like you've been going around in circles in your ministry for days, weeks, months, years? You still find yourself in the same place you've always been. One morning you get up out of your bed and you have your devotions and your prayer and you go down to your altar and you pray over the ministry and you walk the same pews. You've walked 1,000 times for the souls that are going to be sitting on those pews the next time that you say, thus saith the Lord from behind the pulpit. And you feel like all you've done for years and years and years is done the circle campaign. Now I want you to pay very close attention to me because again, with all the humility and all the honor that I mean it from the bottom of my heart, not to tell you something you never noticed before, but 6 days they only had to walk around one time. They worked hard. They had to march. They had to get everybody ready and prepared and lined up and around the city. But on the 7th day, God expected more work from them in the end. Now, some of you just said 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and your body isn't what it used to be. And you think that maybe the work is supposed to be getting lighter, because you've been doing it for so long, so faithful for so many years. But in this story, in order for the wall to fall down, they had to do the most work on the last day after they had already exerted the energy to walk around that wall for 6 days. After they had already done the same thing over and over again, seeing no results, on the 7th day, God said, do it over again and again and again. Now, I want to show you something really quick. Let's look down, if you would, please, on the verse number 15, the next verse in the passage. And I'm wrapping it up. I promise I want to leave Brother Don as much time as we can tonight to hear from what the Lord's laid on his heart. The Bible says, and it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner over and over again and again for 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. Labor daily, every day. But there are some days God requires a little more. Now, as I read this story and as I understand the message, there's not a condition on the elderly don't have to do it as much as the young ones do. Let's let them take our place. We have a church God's tremendously blessing over at Trinity, and I've got some gentlemen. I appreciate them beyond all measure for traveling with me and coming down here and supporting their pastor while they're sitting here in a congregation. But we have an attitude that we're combating. We have a disposition that we're facing, and that is, if it's white and silver on top, it's time to step aside. and to let others take the place. That's not a biblical concept. That's not what needs to happen. We don't need men who have held pulpits and have preached the Word of God and studied for hours and have prayed upon their faces to step aside because a younger man has more energy or a louder voice or a spring in his step to be able to take the pulpits. We have to be faithful, work hard all the way till the walls fall down. Until the walls fell, they hadn't won a single battle. 40 years they'd been playing in the sand. And on the seventh day, God expected the most work. But there's something else too. Until the wall fell down, they didn't have anything to shout about. I mean, what were they going to say? Hey, congratulations, we watched our entire family die from disobedience to God. Congratulations, let me tell you a little bit about myself. We're nothing but a bunch of slaves and pyramid builders, not warriors and conquerors. They're talking about a promised land they should have had a long time ago, but instead they're just at the beginning. You ever face that fact? Have you ever come to your senses in your office and realized that after everything you've done, it's time to start over? That ever happen? You ever sat down with a staff or with a couple that you've been talking to and said, you know what, we've just got to go back to the beginning. The problem is we know how hard the work has been to get to where we are and to start all over. We just don't know if we can put that much work in it again. And so what happens here is they've been told, listen, I want to be very specific. God has a plan in place. And while God's doing what you're supposed to do, look with me, if you would, please, verse number 10. Joshua comes to the people, and the Bible says, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. And when I tell you to shout, then ye shall shout. Now here's the problem. Today, anytime you get ready to put faith into practice, people are going to start talking. Anytime you walk to your church and say, I think God is leading us to fill in the blank, somebody somewhere is going to say they feel God telling them something exactly the opposite of what you just said as the pastor. Say, well, preacher, I thought I was the only one. Abraham, God said, leave it all behind. Noah, God said, go out there and build a boat. People started saying, you're a crazy man. There have been many a path. How about Jesus when he walked outside of Lazarus and said, he's not dead, he just sleeps. And they said, sleeps? Are you kidding me? He's been dead for 3 days. He stinks. You're the Son of God and you don't even know what you're talking about. They all, when it came time to put faith to practice, had to go against the noise that rose up from the people. And Joshua came to him and said, this is what God said for us to do. There shall be no noise until God gives us the appropriate time for noise. And look with me, if you would, please, all the way down in verse number 16. The Bible says, as they had walked about the city seven times on the seventh day, that it came to pass on the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, shout, for the Lord hath given you this city. Not he might, he will, we'll see what happens. He said, it's yours. So open up your voice and you shout. And look with me, if you would, please, all the way down in verse number 20. Joshua said, shout. So the people shouted with the priests when they blew the trumpets. Can I tell you something? The church has got to find its shout again, and it's not going to come from the pew. It's got to be found again in the pulpit. There's got to be an enthusiasm and an excitement. There's got to be an energy that's spoken from behind here of the promises that we've seen fulfilled, of the prayers that we've seen answered, of the miracles in modern day time, in your lifetime, where God showed up and God showed out. And it's time for people to shout about the power of God. But until the walls fell, nothing. I'm going to ask you a question. You can't tell me you've served God 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years without having seen not just walls fall, but mountains moved. Where are the testimonies of all that God has done? Where's the shouting from the men of God? Now, I'm not talking about acting a fool of themselves. I'm not talking about boasting and bragging and putting themselves in the spotlight. I'm talking about God has been here. Recognize the presence of God. Recognize the power of God. Witness what he is capable of doing in us and through us in our life. When Joshua told the people to shout, he showed them and they obeyed and they shouted in what God had done. When God said it was time. Before the wall had fell, they had not won a battle in 40 years. Before the wall had fallen, all they did was walk in circle for days. Before the wall had fallen, there was nothing to shout about. It had been work, 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 walk, walk, walk. What were they supposed to be excited about? That wall that when they walked up to the city and they shut their gates was still standing there 6 days later. Some of you have been trying to knock down a wall in that ministry, knock down a wall in your life. You're trying to see a border broken down. You're trying to see a miracle take place. And it may be 20 years, 40 years, 50 years into the ministry, and you don't know if you're ever going to see the wall fall. Hadn't had anything to shout about. I want you to know, until that wall fell, uncertainty had shadowed confidence. So what do you mean, preacher? I mean that God had promised them this land a long time ago, just like he promised he was coming back. And just because they had not received the land did not mean they would never receive the land. But they had to wonder if. Just like the people in our congregations today, evangelists, missionaries, preachers, just like the people you tell, one day Jesus is coming back. They say, well, he hasn't come yet. Does that mean he's going to come? Well, God's all powerful, but I haven't seen the power yet. The wall is still there. And uncertainty had overshadowed their confidence in what God was capable of doing. But I want you to take your finger and scroll down with me, if you would please, to verse number 27. The Bible says, sure enough, on the seventh day when the trumpets blew and the men shouted and the people lifted their voices, that the walls fell down flat. And the men ran into the city and they took the city and they burned it to the ground. They took the gold, silver, and the brass for the house of God, as the Bible says. And after the battle was over, after the walls had fallen down, look at verse 27. The Bible says two things were witnessed: that the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout the country. Men, I love you, and I want you to understand something today. If you're sitting here and you're not in the ministry full-time, if you're a member of Tabernacle and God's granted you with a wife or children or a home or a responsibility, all of these things have battles that you will face along this life that you live. Just like these people faced this wall that stood in front of them, and they wondered, God had promised all those things. He was going to be with us in times of fear. He was going to give us power so that we could overcome. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But it seems like every time I turn on the news or every time I pick up a newspaper, the world is consuming everything, and the church is being shoved into a corner and told to be quiet and told to be quiet. And young men have raised up, and false preachers have raised up, and false teachers have raised up, and they've squashed the voice of the power of God and those that have witnessed the hand of God in their life. You say, preacher, this growing concern has caused a doubt in our confidence of what God is capable of. But on the seventh day, after they had done all the work and obeyed God to the T, when the wall fell down, two things came out of there. Number one, they knew that God had his hand on that man. And number two, everybody talked about what God was going to be able to capable to do through that man. Can I tell you something? There are a whole lot of preachers I never got to hear preach that are already in eternity, long before I was able to grasp the words that they were spoken of. And yet still to this day, their names ring true for their faithfulness, because two things were true about them. One, God was with that man. And two, it was noise what God could do through that man. 40 years in the desert and a wall that stood in front of them for 6 days, walking in circles, nothing had happened, nothing to shout about. But in the end of the day, everybody knew that God was true to his word. You may spend all of your days on the infamous back page of a Christian newsletter somewhere. Your name may not be on the headlines of all the preachers and all the people all around the world praying for your ministry. You may be faithfully plugging away in Nowhere, USA. And for years you felt like, I've done it and I've done it and I've done it and nothing's happened. I wonder if I'm even making a difference. I want you to know that one day, whether it's in your lifetime or the legacy left behind, the generation that God blesses of your faithfulness, there'll be two things that are known. One, God was with you like he promised you he would be, and God used you only because you allowed him to use you in your life. But until the wall fell, they just had to believe. Gentlemen, I love you. I look around this room and I see men that I have sat in the pew and grown up listening to preach. I watched my papa scare me to death as he hustled up these stairs to prove he could do it. And I prayed for him as he came back down. I can remember that man's hand when I would be misbehaving up there in the hills of Kentucky, slamming down on a table and scaring me to death. Because he could, with one swipe, take care of both cheeks at the same time. I watched that firm, strong man that preached to that church, Sugar Camp Baptist Church, for all those years, many a time walk in on him and find him down at the altar praying in the darkness in the shadow of his pulpit. And you say, preacher, why tell me that story? Because I will remember God was with that man. And great are the things God did through that man. That's his legacy. I get to tell him sitting here on this pew tonight, but I will remember if God tarries his coming. The same thing can be said for each and every one of you. To a young man or a young woman somewhere that sees the faithfulness of God. It doesn't have to be the thousands. You don't have to have a Bible college named after you somewhere. You don't have to have them dedicate the new fellowship hall in your name and your honor for all the years of faithfulness you stood in the church. You don't serve the church for the recognition of the church. You serve the church for the pleasing and adoration of the Heavenly Father. Gentlemen, I want to encourage you to keep on walking around the wall for as long as it takes. Dear Lord, bless the next preacher. I pray that your hand is upon him. You fill his mouth and his lips with exactly the words we need to